Bible's out tonight, John chapter 8. Ever get so deep in prayer where you feel like almost you could hear the songs of heaven? Felt like that tonight. I heard, I don't know what that was. But John chapter 8. Good reminder to us all to make sure that our cell phones are on vibrate and or off. John chapter 8 and verse 32, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." He answered him, who's this? Just so you, for sake of time, we'll not go through the whole chapter, but Jesus is conversing, I guess would be the nicest way to say it. He's having a pretty heated conversation with the Pharisees. And we're jumping right into the middle of it. And he says, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." They answered him, they would be the Pharisees, "We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free?" Isn't it funny how we have a warped sense of our current status? The nation of Israel is saying this to Jesus as they are under the rule of Caesar. Have they forgotten Egypt? Have they forgotten Babylon? They say, we are Abraham's seed and we're never in bondage to any man. Wrong. Wrong. No, I'm okay, preacher. I don't need to be saved. I'm all right. I'm good. Wrong. You're in bondage. You're in bondage. Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin." There it is. We're not talking about governments here. We're talking about our sin. And when you sin, you're a servant to that sin. It owns you. "And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the son abideth ever." In verse 36, "If the son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed." Let's pray and we'll look at a few things here tonight. Heavenly Father, thank you for this passage. Thank you for your word. Lord, I pray as we study this that God, we would be open and receptive to the leading of the Holy Spirit in our lives. God, you'd be honored and glorified and pleased with the decisions that we make concerning ourselves and you. Lord, we love you tonight. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so we talked a little bit about this in class, but I'm going to kind of take it in a different direction. But I do want to draw your attention to verse 32 and 36. "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." In verse 36 it says, "If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." So here's two things that make us free: the truth and the Son. Well, if the Son makes me free and the truth makes me free, well, then the truth is the Son. That's a little math logic. It's actually the transitive property. If A equals B and C equals B, then A equals C. Say, I have no idea what you're talking about. Trust me. Just give me a whiteboard and a marker and I got it. Where's Kiana? Are we on? Right? Okay, very good. But that's not what we're talking about here tonight. We're going to draw our attention to verse 33. "They answered him, We be Abraham's seed and we're never in bondage to any man." Never in bondage. Bondage or a servant. We're a bondage and a servant to something. We're owned by somebody. Say, no, I'm my own person. No, you're not. You're either a servant of Christ or you're a servant of sin. That's it. There's two options. And we can study through the book of Romans and see that played out real well. But one of the dangers that we see in verse 33, it says this, "And we are never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free?" As I study this and I look at this, I realize there's a warped sense of a view here. Again, Israel is, the Pharisees are demanding that they've never been in bondage to anybody, that they are owned by nobody. Our affections are towards God and God alone, is pretty much what they're saying. And that's not true. Not true at all. And sometimes we convince ourselves that our affections are to God and God alone. That we're not under bondage to anybody. And that's not true. We fall prey just like the Pharisees do. And we justify ourselves. We justify ourselves. Tonight we're going to look at four areas that we justify and convince ourselves that we're okay in, but we've, just like the nation of Israel, we've fallen in love with something that we ought not to. Let's look at 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15. Four things, and we'll be brief tonight. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15. The Bible tells me this in 1 John 2:15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Number one thing that we ought not to love is the love of the world. We ought not to love the world. The Bible tells me in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15, love not the world. Hey, there's a lot of things I'm told to care about and have compassion on. And you say, Pastor, you've been talking a lot about being a good soul winner and being effective in that. How am I supposed to love the lost? I'm not talking about not loving the lost. I'm talking about the system of the world. The ways of the world are different than the ways of God. Let's look at some verses on this. Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. If you're taking notes tonight, the first thing is, first problem that we have is our love for the world. Romans chapter 2 and verse 12 says this, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. See, the Bible says, hey, God's will is over here, and the way of the world is over here, and the two things are different. And it says this, and be not conformed to this world. Don't look like the world. Don't think like the world. Don't love the world. But our affections go towards the world. Again, it's not the lost sinners that we're comparing here. We're talking about the philosophy of the world. Love not the world. Be not conformed to this world. God says, I actually want to transform you. When I grew up in the 80s. I was born in 1978. So the toys that I experienced are a little bit different than the toys that the kids experience these days. But it seems like they're all coming back around again. So what did I play with? I played with G.I. Joe guys and Transformers. All of a sudden they're making Transformer movies again. Because they realized how cool they were. That's what happened. And what is a transformer? It was a toy that looked like a car, and then you would do some things, and all of a sudden it would be a robot. It was a plane, and all of a sudden you would change it, and it would look like another robot. When you break it down like that, it doesn't sound as cool. But when you were eight, it was really cool. Dinosaurs that turned into robots. But the Bible says, hey, I want to transform you from something. I want to take you from your sinful lifestyle, what you once were, your love for the world, and I want to change you, he says in Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. We're not to love the world. Galatians chapter 1 tonight. Galatians chapter 1. Galatians 1:10 says, for do I now persuade men or God? Who am I trying to convince? Am I trying to get favor with man, or am I trying to get favor with God? Or do I seek to please men, he says. For if I yet pleased men, I should not what? Be the servant of Christ. If I love this world, if I love my sin, it's real difficult to love Christ. Love not the world. James chapter 4. The world is trying real hard to redefine what is right and what is true and what is good. But I'm telling you, it'll never win in redefining it. Why? Because it can't undo the Scriptures. The authority of the Scriptures far exceeds any professor, far exceeds any philosophy. Even if it feels like it's winning for a time, please know that the Word of God will never be undone. It'll never go away. As much as they try and kick it out of schools, and as much as they might, even in our country, hey, I don't know what's coming down the road. You know, you see things, and it's like, man, how could it get any worse? And then it gets worse, and it's like, what's it going to be like in 20 years from now? Look back 20 years ago. 20 years ago. Nothing like it is today. The acceptance of sin is incredible. But do you understand that we still have the Word of God to tell us what is right and true? We're not to love the world. James chapter 4 and verse 4. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is what? Enmity with God. Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is what? Is the enemy of God. In 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15 it says, love not the world. Oh, that's good for Hey, you're an enemy of God if you love the world. Say, those are strong words. That's what God says. God has, and you can ask our John class, God has some pretty strong words about things. He doesn't dance around. He comes out straightforward and says it. I'm not saying we be acoustic about things, but know where you stand on sin and righteousness. Our first problem tonight is the love of the world. But I don't want to just stop with the negative. If I'm not to love the world, what am I to love? Well, I'm to love God. If I'm not to love that, well, I'm going to love its enemy then. God. Hey, tonight, You can't stand in neutral ground. Well, I'm not going to care about either. You've made your decision. In not loving God, you love the world. Can I encourage you tonight? The way to undo the love of the world is to love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. Give your life completely over to God. Allow Him to transform you, to change you into what He wants you to be. Or we can sit like the Pharisees and say, nobody owns me. No. No, let's not love the world. Point number two. 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Hopefully our King's Club teachers have longer lessons also tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 10. Not only am I not to love the world, I'm also not to love 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 10. For the love of money is the root of all evil. Is money evil? No. Is loving money evil? Yes. We have to be careful. We have to be careful. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which, while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith. You know, this is a warning. You understand the context of Timothy. The book of Timothy, Paul is writing to a young preacher, a young man in the ministry, and he's warning him. He says, hey, be careful. People have actually abandoned the faith for money. Could you imagine? Yes. Yes, I could imagine. We've seen it. Wander from preaching the gospel. Why? Because people don't want to hear that. And I'd love money. That's not what the scripture says. Let's look at some verses on this. Deuteronomy chapter 16. I want to show you one verse, and then we'll see the positive side of it. Deuteronomy chapter 16. Number one, problem is the love for the world. Number two, love of money. Deuteronomy chapter 16, look at verse 19. This is great. Thou shalt not wrest judgment. Rest written there is W-R-E-S-T. That's not like nap. It's not that rest. How many of you in high school maybe or something wrestled? That's the same word. It means to contend or fight. So, again, I'm not rewriting the scriptures. I'm just substituting in a word maybe that'll help. Thou shalt not fight judgment. Thou shalt not respect persons, neither, take a gift. For a gift doth blind the eyes of the wise and pervert the words of the righteous. Way back in the law, he warns the judges. He says, hey, be careful not to take what we would call bribes. Why? Because it'll change how you see things. It'll change your view of things. Love not money. Why? Because it'll change how you see things. There's a lot of miserable people out there thinking that the end of it all is how much money they can make. And they've sacrificed relationships and families and God because they wanted money. I'm not saying if you have money you don't have those things, but be careful how much you love it. Love not the world. Don't love money. 1 Timothy chapter 3. Two more. Quickly. Oh, wait. Can we do the positive one of opposite? So, if I'm not supposed to love money, what am I supposed to do? Give. 2 Corinthians 9:7 says what? God loves a what? A cheerful giver. A cheerful giver. Love not money. So what am I supposed to do? Give it away. Why is it so hard to part with our money? Because I love it. Because I work hard for it. Right? Isn't that what we say? Well, that's my money. I worked hard for it. I earned it. You earned it. Every month, my bank sends me an itemized list for my checking account. What do we call those? Bank statements. That's exactly what they are. It's a statement about what you love. You say, how so? It tells you where you've put your money. I don't know what your itemized list looks like. I don't know where your money goes. But you want to know a statement? Take that out and look at where your money goes. And I'll tell you what you love. See, that's too personal. We ought to love giving. Why? Because God loves a cheerful giver. Careful that we not fall in love with the world. Careful that we not fall in love with money. Careful that we not fall in love with pleasure. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 4. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 4. Traitors, heady, high-minded. Look at lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. He warns, don't love pleasures more than God. We can look at, write these verses down. Jude 1:4 and Jude 1:19. Take a look at those later on. Be careful that we not love pleasures more than our love for God. What ought we love? Well, if I'm not to love pleasures, what's the opposite of pleasure? Holiness. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. Ephesians 1:4, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundations of the world, that we should be what? Holy and without blame before Him in love. We ought to love holiness. But instead, what happens? We love pleasures. We ought not to love the world. We ought not to love money. We ought not to love pleasure. And lastly, 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 2. For men shall be lovers. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. It goes on to give a list, and it feels like, as we read 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1, this know also that in the last days, perilous times shall come. There's going to be a change of mindset, he warns. He says, towards the end days, this is what's going to happen. Men shall be lovers of their own selves. And he goes on and he says, men are going to be covetous and boasters and proud. But when I studied this last time, I felt like he almost defined what it means to be a lover of your own self. Someone that loves themselves, you know what they are? They're covetous. They're boasters. Hey, let me tell you about all the great things I did. They love themselves. God says, that's not what we ought to be. They're proud. They're blasphemers. They're disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. I felt like part of that list was redefining, if you will, the lovers of self. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 21. Philippians 2:21 says this, for all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ's. We ought not to do that. We ought to seek what is Christ's. So, my problem is I love the world. The solution is I ought to love God. My problem is I love money. The solution is I ought to be a giver. My problem is I love pleasures. The solution is holiness. My problem is I love myself, and in exchange I should love others. Others. So tonight, these are man's most common problems. But there's a solution to each of them. We ought not to be content with our bondage. We ought not to be content with our servants of sin, but we ought to undo those things and do the opposite. Not to love the world, but to love God. Not to love money, but to give it. Not to love pleasures, but demand holiness in our life. And not to love ourselves, but care for others. Hey, let's encourage each other to do those things. Let's be a help. Let's take some personal self-reflection and look at ourselves in these passages and say, is that me? Do I love the world? Do I love money? Do I love pleasures? Do I love myself? So I'll stand. The devil's subtle and he'll sneak in. Before you know it, all of a sudden, you're in bondage. Okay, let's be aware. Let's be cautious. Let's be careful. Lord, we thank you for tonight. Thank you for your word. Lord, help us to adhere to it. Lord, help us to make application to it. Lord, give us courage. Give us strength. Give us wisdom. Lord, help us to love you. Help us to love others. Help us to love giving. Help us to love holiness. Lord, we need you. And we love you. I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Be careful out there. It's cold. I'm not sure if you're aware of this. It's cold.